This last lesson that I would like to share with you in the series we're doing right now is one that I just got, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And it was when a Jesus betrayal. And it was very, very interesting to me. It spoke to me in a very new way. And I've got new insights from Jesus' betrayal. Judas didn't go to the garden with the disciples. He had already left to meet with the temple guards. And he said, I will take you to where he is, and the man that I kiss is the one you're seeking. And Jesus was finished his prayer time, and the disciples were getting ready to leave the garden. And Judas came up, and he kissed him. And Jesus asked one of the most penetrating questions that just so spoke to me. Jesus said to Judas, friend, why are you here? Friend, why are you here? Jesus knew. It was not a question for Judas to give him an answer. It was a question so Judas could search his heart and his soul. Why are you here? Do you know Jesus is asking that question today to you and to me? Why are you here? Is the place you go for entertainment? The things that you are participating in, are they wrong? And if I get involved in those things where Jesus asked me, what in the world are you doing here? You know, those things, I am denying that I know a holy God. See, we deny Jesus not only by our words, like I never knew him, but we also deny him by our actions and getting involved where we should not go. I would like to give you an illustration from my own personal life. I was saved through the Navigators, and I worked in their office. I was working for a medical doctor at the time I became a believer. And I had Wednesdays off, so I would go out to Pasadena and volunteer in the Navigator office. They were the only Christians I knew. And being around these wonderful young people my age or a little bit older that were so committed to the Lord was a tremendous experience for me to be involved with them. And the one who discipled me, I'm so thankful he didn't give me a list of what good Christians do and what bad Christians do. You know, if you want to be a good Christian, you don't do this, you don't do that. The list, and those lists differ from the church you go to or the denomination or whatever. But I didn't have a list, but I had the Holy Spirit. And 3 months after being saved, I went in the Army. And I eventually end up in Fort Bliss, Texas, which is right outside of El Paso, Texas. And El Paso goes to the Rio Grande River, and across the river is Juarez, Mexico. And for the first, 2 months maybe of our training, we had no time off. We were trained 7 days a week. But then the second phase, we had weekends off. And the guys would go the guys I was around, they would go into Mexico, into Juarez, to participate in immoral activities. And no one, I didn't have a list. I didn't have to look down on my list from a church or from an organization that good Christians don't do that. In my heart, I didn't think that good Christians would do that, even though I was only 3 months old. But I had my Navigator verses in my pocket, and I would pull them out and review them and review them and review them from the first set of verses they give you. And those verses put me in very good state with the Lord, I'll tell you. I didn't know a lot of scripture, and I hadn't read a lot of Bible. And it's almost impossible to read Bible when you get up early in the morning, go late at night, and you are training in a desert. You just are so exhausted. When you go to bed, you're out. And to wake up in the morning, it seems like you didn't even lay down at all. Well, the guys began to feel sorry for me because I said no. And we were so far out that there was no public transportation at all. Either you had a friend with a car that you could leave the post, or you're stuck. And I was stuck there. And one day they said to me, on this weekend, if we don't go to Juarez, Mexico, and you're here all the time by yourself, would you go with us to a movie? And I said, well, sure. I went to movies all the time before I was saved. I'll go. So we went to a movie, and the movie was, I had no idea, was a movie that was a little bit risque. And I mean, it would be tame today compared to what teenagers are watching, you know, on the web and all of that. But still, it wasn't the right kind of movie. And I'm sitting there in that movie theater, and it's dark. And all of a sudden, I remember that the discipler or somewhere, and I hadn't been to church all that much, you know, in 3 months, because I had to go a long ways to get to a church that was preaching the Bible. I thought, well, isn't the Lord going to come back again? I'm sure of that. It just came to my mind. I'm sitting in a darkened theater, and the inferences, they didn't say bad words in this movie, but the movie was not wholesome in any way whatsoever. And I prayed right then and there. I said, Lord, don't come back right now, because you would not expect a Christian to be in this place watching this movie. So I prayed against the second coming of Christ. But the Holy Spirit said to me, friend, what are you doing here? And I am so thankful that as God began to point out things in my life that he was not pleased with, the Holy Spirit was doing his job. So it became a personal conviction, not the conviction of some person or some church. And it really put me in good stead with God, because once the Holy Spirit said, others may, you may not, then I knew God had spoken. That's it. And he speaks to your heart, and you know. So as we end this little betrayal of Christ that we talked about, the question I want you to take with you is this. Friend, why are you here? May you develop a deeper sensitivity to the Spirit of God and his desire for holiness and purity in your life. And may God's blessing be upon you as you begin to ask yourself that question. Jesus indwells me. Would he want to go to this activity or place?